Oh, it's been a while. I was Thailand, then God,
Cambo.
We had to go to Cambodia.
But
see Steve O. Steve
O.
And then we spent another
a week and a half. In Laos.
Well, yeah, that was sick. But we got paid when we went to Paris, just to like help this guy work construction in his super fancy house. And we got paid bank, and so then that was sick, I thought. But welcome back to the Stew Show. What's up, everybody?
What's up,
yeah.
It's nice to see you, bro.
All right. Thank you. We got a very special show for you guys today. Straight out of all of the whole United States, plus Europe, and back and forth lately, we have Brad Olson in the house. Give it up for Brad.
Brad.
And back from Thailand, we have Forrest in the house. Give it up for Forrest.
What's up, folks? I miss you all.
Forrest, what's up, Forrest? And Carrie from Mississippi.
Well, hell, y'all.
Yeah. All right. First things today on the show, we just want to get one thing off of our chest, right? Last place you visited solo, by yourself. Where were you? Where'd you go?
Thailand.
And?
Yeah, I had a great time in Chiang Mai where you can go river rafting.
But you lived there for Lowe's when I was in Hawaii. That was the last place you were.
Yeah, but I hadn't been back to Chiang Mai for like 5 years.
And you went back.
It was really nice. And like,
oh, you just went back.
Americans were there that were between the ages of like 20 and 25. And I was like, hey, it's so nice to see young Americans traveling in Chiang Mai again. You know?
Yeah.
Like, so nice to see you here because I miss you guys and I didn't have to go out of my region where I want to travel, and I see you, and so I'm really pleased.
I saw Sheila in Thailand, right?
Oh, no way. I did.
When did you ever see your brother Ethan in Thailand?
Yeah, definitely. In 2001, we hung out together in Koh Phangan.
No way.
Yeah,
of course. Was it fun?
Of course it was. I love my brother.
Oh, I know. I haven't seen him in Lowe's. Oh my goodness. What was he doing in Thailand, A? And B, was just like, I'm going to just follow my brother. Go see what he's up to. Or
no, it's not like one of those things. It's just like, that's more like what I would share with like my old school friends that I know, because it's kind of like personal. And, you know, to be frank, you know, I love California, and it's a changed state. And I base that on my knowledge, power, and actually doing it.
One story
traveling.
You and your bro did, like in Thailand.
Ethan Carruthers.
Oh my God, we were at Koh Phangan at the Full Moon Party for the first party together.
And tell me about it.
Oh, it was rad. Like, they played trance, like, from midnight to 12 o'clock next day. And a famous DJ from Germany.
12 hours they played trance?
Yeah, a famous DJ from Germany. Like,
trance.
In 2001. Maybe I should ask a quiz question, because I want to know if you guys know who I'm talking about. But he was there and played all night. and it was really, really fun, and we had a great time, and nobody was hurt, and nobody got injured, and if they did, I didn't know about it, and, you know, to be honest, like, really, it was a great party, and all my, like, the whole trance vibe.
Did you say great party twice in one sentence? Well, I'll tell you what, We got a new party coming up, and there might even be a new spot. I'm not letting out any secrets yet, but...
Get weird.
What's happening with the Hal Weir Street Fair this year, buddy? I heard there's a new theme going down.
Well, next year, 20th anniversary.
Right.
80s theme. But we're not going to give that away. It's not what you think. But maybe we'll even look at Santa Cruz. Yeah, maybe. There's a lot of that. 80s everything. 80s steampunk. 1880s. Tesla coils.
Rap music?
Jules Verne.
Jules?
Well, Eric B. and Rakim are going to be there, you guys.
Do you think that, you know, there'll be any kind of old school trance or,
oh, yeah,
you know, CCC, Collective Consciousness of...
Yeah, they do a stage every year.
Oh, okay, cool. Stage.
I think that would be really good to show people and teach them about because, you know, I miss
right,
the conscious types.
Be honest with me. Yeah. Your first time at the CCC, what year?
It was 19...
And I don't mean even at a party. Your first time you ever walked into that building?
The year 2000.
In the year 2000.
And it was rad because... Everyone was dressed up in a costume, and I wore a costume, and I got let in, and it was really fun, and they were like, oh, do you know this? And I was like, yeah, I know. So his name starts with S, and it's really, what is it? You know, yeah.
Okay.
So I felt really comfortable and had fun there.
What were you dressed up as, do you remember?
I was dressed up as Han Solo, and my girlfriend was in a Chewie suit.
Wow. Chewie suit.
Chewbacca.
Pretty kinky.
Yeah.
Chewie.
Cheers to that, brother. Kinky, you right, dirty bastard.
Chewie.
Solo.
Chewie Solo.
That'll change, don't worry.
Like,
back in the day, I think I just relatively recently got back from Hawaii, and Santosh was like, yeah, Michael O'Rourke's throwing a Halloween party at D7, and I think this might be the last party ever at D7, you know, and we've known O'Rourke for a long time,
lights, laser
pretty
beams.
Much,
I fucking love all that shit.
Pretty much 95 on, those guys that's were throwing really parties when the CCC was throwing parties, right?
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, our parties were more psychedelic. They tried to make it with lasers and this, that, psychedelic, but ours was a like, heavier dose of it. But they had great parties, many great parties. I was at a party at D7. They wrapped this huge warehouse in this white fabric.
Ooh.
And in a 3D
white,
version
like
of
soundproof.
It was yeah. Burning Man footage in a 3D camera.
Oh, shit.
It was like live at the Playa.
Like
you
all,
take some acid and
screens,
walk around this party. It was like... mind-blowing. It was cool
yeah.
as hell. You know, D7, so
cool.
Dimension 7 has thrown really good parties. But this
yeah,
is like
too,
the last one,
so
right?
Like,
this isn't going to be like...
this is the last time we did eat.
Hold on.
This is going to be our Halloween party. So, you know,
ooh,
Halloween is my favorite.
Oh,
me
favorite.
Too, bro. Me too.
This
I
is my
Halloween.
Favorite fucking holiday. It's coming up this year too. October. The
yes.
Rocktoberfest?
October.
What?
Yes.
Guess who's going to be there? Me and Lemmy. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
All right, so hold
yeah.
on.
He's all me and Lemmy.
The ghost of Lemmy? Mm-hmm. What? No.
Too dark. All
right, so check it out. We all go to this party. Santosh has his Halloween costume on. I had something, but it wasn't that great, and I don't even know what I went as. It was like, I had a costume on.
Yeah.
It was costume only, you know, so we had costumes on. Wasn't that...
Dude.
Original or great, Max Stones decides, I'm gonna paint myself to look like a zombie. And he makes himself look like dead.
Green.
You know, like blood stuff's coming out here.
Blood,
shit, and
blood,
like,
blood.
Oh, and then, yeah. like, black stuff and ashy. And like, there's a fucking open bar How can you go wrong? How can you go wrong when you don't even have to pay when you go to the bar? You still goes, can I get a
rum and coke?
Or let me get a Jack and Coke. Yeah, that'll do it. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Maybe throw a tip in the jar.
Dollar.
Stone got wasted.
All right, tell him what.
Well, O'Rourke didn't recognize him, and Stone was getting kind of rowdy and
kept hitting and kind of being weird towards people, like getting in people's faces and acting weird. And
so then they had to throw him out.
He was drunk,
but he was pretty wasted since we all came together.
Dude, the guy who throws the Howard Street Fair, Santosh, is hanging out with the other guy who throws the Howard Street Fair, Michael O'Rourke. And we're going to Michael O'Rourke's party. And we bring the guy who gets kicked out of the party. It wasn't like, yeah, a bunch of people got kicked out that night. No, Max got kicked out.
And we all had to leave.
And we brought him there. And then we had to go like this.
I heard about this.
Michael. You know who you just kicked out? Some fucking weirdo. Stone. Fucking freak. No. You remember back in the day, Max Stone?
Yeah.
He goes,
I met him
with
your
ass fucking guy.
Stone.
Oh, so
styrofoam. But he bounces back. He's resilient. He lives in Austin.
Lives
Texas
another day.
Right now. And he says he'll never move back to California. He couldn't pay me enough money to live in that state.
I just tried to call him. His phone's turned off.
Cali.
Doesn't live here.
Yeah, they did say that.
If you work and you're willing to fucking work and learn, come up this and over to.
Alright, so hold on.
I'm getting like $50 an hour to do electrician work for my boss 14 years ago.
Let's go to Carrie. Bringing me up. Carrie. Yes. First time on the Stu Show.
That's me.
Well, we were giving a little bit of conversation to you today, but I would love to hear, my fans would love to hear. Tell me about how old were you? And when were you, when you started traveling, and give us that download of where, how you got to go to all these cool places, and how the, even maybe some family might have bought some houses to help you get along that, through that trail of goodness.
Oh, man. Well, they didn't.
It was a nice journey. It was a beautiful journey.
They didn't have houses?
Well, no, not at first. Okay, so this started in June of 2003. June of 2003, I graduated high school from Northeast Lauderdale High School in Meridian, Mississippi, and I was the fucking class clown. I was the wild child. All the girls loved me, all the guys hated me, and we all had a lot of fun, you know?
Done that, right, Santosh? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I can completely understand.
Right, yeah.
I completely understand.
So in the summer of 2003, I went to Pennsylvania from Mississippi.
Time out. Let's be honest. Anywhere me and Santosh go, guys hate us and all the girls love us.
Okay.
So that's the point.
It just travels with you. Okay, take note, people. Get your notebooks, kids. Get your trapper keepers.
Swing! StuartBallon.com. Just kidding.
Anyways, so I moved to Northeast Pennsylvania, Scranton, where they filmed The Office. Yes. Yeah. And had a good time. No, Pennsylvania.
Oh,
Northeast
Scranton,
Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Penn State,
Northeast Pennsylvania. It was like right on the Jersey-New York line, man. It was a good time.
Scranton is where that...
Scranton, yes, the show The Office.
The Office.
Yes,
where
that's where they filmed the show. And it was right across the street from the Steamtown Mall, as a matter of fact. Actually, legit in Scranton.
Okay.
Okay, but I was a stone.
You know, I was...
Yeah, you know, a little geography lesson for you kids, okay? But, so got to go to Canada, you know, a lot back and forth every year. We're super close. In the summer of 2006, I went to Barcelona, and then from there we went
Barcelona. Where were you in Barcelona, and what did you think of it?
Okay, so Barcelona, I went with my oldest sister. Her husband was in the military, you know what I mean? So I got the little family travel, blah, 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 you know? Barcelona, man, we went skiing on this one mountaintop, and I will never forget that, because I've been skiing before, but this place was just like an absolute beauty. And it was in November of 2006, I got food poisoning too because I went to a local farmer's market.
That's not the good part, people.
Oh man, yeah, memories. But yeah, I went to Barcelona. Went to this really cool amusement park that was like super like dark themed. It was like anti-Disney. It was like vampires and zombies walking around instead of Mickey and Minnie.
In
pretty
Barcelona.
Rad in Barcelona. Yeah, so it was called the Underground. What translated to the Underground, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, it was a good time, man. That was 2006, and then I went to Kauai three times over a span of 2 years.
The yes. Garden Island.
Oh.
It's tiny there.
But
Fuego.
Yeah.
Terra del Fuego.
Went to Hawaii.
Pterodactyl Fuegos.
Over a couple, over a couple years, and then I went to the Czech Republic. That was dope. That was really cool. That
so
was like
apple.
That's
so, yes, yes.
So much different from Kauai.
Dude, I went to the Czech Republic.
Yeah,
and
I went
it, yes.
from Kauai
to
Czech
the Czech
Republic.
Republic. Yes, not Slovakia.
Most people go to
the
Kauai
Czech
and then they
Republic.
Go back to their job.
Yes.
And their goddamn
no,
little fucking computer.
I went to Czech.
Back at home in the mainland. You're like this. Yeah, I was in Kauai. How old were you when you were in Kauai?
When I was in Kauai, I was 20. I was 21 years old.
Terrible.
So he's only
21. Okay, okay, and
21.
Okay, okay. And listen to this story, guys. On my 21st birthday, I went to see Gwar. Gwar, the original Gwar. Love Gwar.
I've seen him.
David Brocky. Dude, I go see.
Where did they?
I see Gwar.
Mr. East Coast guy. Where did Gwar start?
They started in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, what school did they go to?
Oh, that I don't know, but I know it was 1979, and I had the very first DVD. I have like, dude, I'm a huge Gwar fan, really, bro. Like,
well,
I would like love to go to the Gwar-bee-cue and like
Gwar-bee-cue.
David yeah, Rocky Gila. Forever, man.
Gila,
you know,
my friend.
I almost cried the day he died. I'm a huge fan. Okay, so this being said,
Odorous
Ungerus, yes, Odorous Ungerus, okay. Yeah. Yes, the scum dogs of the universe. Ooh, yes, named it. There we go. Dude, I'm a lifetime fan. Okay, anyways, fellas. Okay, so 21st birthday. It is 2005, and it's my 21st birthday, and I'm in fucking Scranton, Pennsylvania. I'm at this bar that's called Tinks,
mm-hmm.
and Gwar's headlining for this band called Skeleton Witch. And Skeleton Witch fucking blew him away, man. I'm a yeah. lifelong fan to this day. Skeleton Witch, check him out, you guys. You know?
Okay.
So anyways.
Keep rolling.
So I'm turning 21 at midnight. I go to the bar. I go to grab a drink. And they're like, ah, kid, you're not 21 yet. We're not going to serve you. You know?
We lucked out. Like,
yeah. So they're being dicks. So I was, you know, I was mad. I go outside. I start whining. And then I'm out on the sidewalk. And this fucking guy walks by me. And, you know, and he like, kind of overhears my story. He was one of the slaves from Gwar's set.
Who
were, like,
birthday.
One of the extras. My birthday.
On 21.
On my 21st birthday.
You're supposed to get
birthday.
Free drinks on
yes.
your
Dude, yes, and they
not,
said
not
no drinks.
Drink.
And they said no drinks. You fucking pig Nazis.
Especially your 21st.
21st.
You
that's what I said, right? That's how you hook them, and that's how you bring them back, man. But anyways, okay, so this cat overhears my story, and this cat just happens to be one of the roadies for Gwar. And he fucking comes outside, and you know, he's like, dude, kid, like, we were listening to your shit. Just come in the back. I go in the back, and these guys are suiting up, like, in their makeup, man. You know, and it's fucking meet and greet, and it's Gwar, man. Like, I went to see Gwar, you know, and I was 21, dude. And I'm like, oh, you know, and
Gwar.
That's yes, awesome, Gwar, dude. Gwar, the fucking
amazing,
dick. Yeah, it. Dude, yeah, love Gwar. So we're fucking doing shots of J-Mo, and
Jesus.
Yes, yeah, dude, you know, they're Richmond boys. They're Richmond boys. They drink cheap beer. They were drinking like fucking Milwaukee's, I think, man. And it was yeah.
Milwaukee's best ice.
Yes, yes, represent Richmond. You guys know. But anyways, so they were like, you know, what's your favorite song, kid? Blah, blah, blah. You know, happy birthday. Go up to the bar and talk to so-and-so. And, yeah, so I go up to the bar. I talk to so-and-so. And is this a PG-13 show? Can I say what
no.
I want? Okay, so I go up to the bar, man. It's my 21st birthday. And the fucking bartender hands me an ecstasy tab and a Suboxone. And I, you know what I mean? I was
Suboxone
exactly. is like Suboxone.
That game Zaxxon from the 80s? A Zaxxon?
Suboxone is today's day and age methadone. But it's way stronger. It's way, you know, yes, it's like super, yes.
Doing some down low age
yes.
style.
So.
Don't
do what I say, kids, not as I do. Anyways, so. This chick gives me a fucking ecstasy tab and some Suboxone.
Okay. Keep going.
And.
Forrest. Go.
And then from there, okay, so I remember taking both. I remember about an hour in, I just start feeling it, man. And I'm, you know, getting closer to the front stage, and I'm seeing them play my fucking favorite songs, and I'm fucking moshing out, you know what I mean? And then it just hits me, like, as soon as I get, you know, front row, man. And I feel this fucking wave on my back, all these kids fucking pushing on me, and I'm fucking... Dude, I'm tripping balls by this time, dude. And I'm down, you know?
But not out.
But not out, man. Oh! I fucking... Woo! Waved out this entire show, man, and these fucking kids, we had a great time, like I said. Yes. It was Guar, man. It was Guar. It was a Guar show. Yes. East Coast, man. They're from East Coast. But yeah, needless to say, it was a unforgettable 21st birthday, man. Completely unforgettable.
Did you got rolled?
No, because it was Guar. Because it was Guar. It was Guar, man.
Okay, check it out. Ready? Most people that would have lived in San Francisco back in the day that like bands, not just DJs, Santage. No, I'm just kidding. Mm. He loves Seeger. What?
Oh, I'm a highway. Seeger fan, dude.
Hold on, hey, you bastard. Here it is, that's pretty obvious. Here it is. Yeah. So there's a place in North Beach called The Stone, and it's the small club, and like, it got to a point to where all these rich people that live right above The Stone were like, dude, we can't handle that noise at night, you have to close this down, and the city closed it fucking down. But it was like legendary for like awesome fucking bands, dude. I've seen Pantera there. I've seen all kinds of fucking bands there.
Pantera.
Like really sick bands, and it's the smallest little club. Dude, like you go spit on the drummer from the stage. Like it's right in front, dude. Like you're right there, you know? And me and Hiawatha and my other friend, R.I.P. Scott Brovan. Right.
Hiawatha, I remember you mentioning him.
Yeah, so the three of us are like this. Jack. We're gonna go to Guar tonight at the Stone. Guar. And I know this guy that makes candles in Lower Haight. I go down to Lower Haight, and he usually would like get sacks or what have you from the key. And this time I go there and I'm like this. You have that super pure freaking MDMA? Ecstasy? And he's like,
Yeah.
You want some? And I'm like, yeah. And I just took the cash.
At Guar?
Told a big handful of cash and just went, boom. Oh. And he went, shovel. Boom. Just a scoop. Dude. A fucking scoop. I fucking wrapped that shit up. Went right back up to Upper Haight. I'm like, oh, what the? Look what I got. And he's like, what is that? He thought it was heroin maybe, like China White or something.
Yeah.
And I go, dude, this is ecstasy. This is loads before 95, dude.
Too.
Years before.
You'll be fucking all night, kid.
And so I'll dump out two equal piles, and I just go like this, because this is what I used to do with White. I just roll up a tootie. I snort it and fucking Haya does the same thing. Boom! And then Haya goes like this. Look what I get. A fucking big old bag of mushrooms. And I'm like, oh, you have mushrooms? Fuck, give me a handful of that shit, dude. We both grab a handful of mushrooms.
I get really good mushrooms.
Snorted a shitload big fucking inch-high pile of fucking super good fucking eat, dude. And then we eat mushrooms, and me and Hiawatha are like this. Before this shit kicks in, let's get on the bus and get down to North Beach and get to the fucking Stone. We get to the Stone, and... This is back in the day when even in San Fran,
Jack,
if you wanted really, really good pot, it was super duper expensive, $480 for an ounce.
Shut the fuck
and
up.
So, and people wouldn't sell little shit. The little shit on the street was garbage Mexican weed and da da da.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like it is now at all, right?
No, it's and just so, okay, so abundant.
Dude, we get to, you know? Hold on, we get to North Beach. We get to North Beach, and fucking, we call Scott Brovan, and Brovan's like, what's up, you guys, where you at? And we're like, we're at North Beach. Like, and right around the corner from the Stone, you go up this steep hill, and then there's stairs that go up like 300 stairs, and there's a little park above the Stone. And Scott's like, let's meet up at that park. And we go up there, and Scott Brovan pulls out a fat fucking joint of some humble fucking green
while you're tripping on E
sticky fucking weed.
Why,
Now we just fucking Hoover this fat fucking joint, dude.
Oh.
And we just burn the whole thing. So and all of a sudden now I'm feeling so fucking good, dude. I'm just flying high. And yes. Says Hiawatha. And Scott's just stoned and maybe a little buzzed off some alcohol. Me and High are flying, dude. And we fucking go into the building and I'm like, okay, never seen Guar before. This should be intense, you know?
Guar's good,
and
man.
All of a sudden, the crowd comes in. And all
the
of a sudden.
Lights go down.
Oh, yeah. Dude, these
the curtains
these
go
two,
up.
These two kids.
And there's one question
two,
left.
These two
to
kids,
ask.
Right?
Yeah. Who's the band?
Fucking Guar. So
Guar.
Fucking. Dude, these little kids walk out and they have these 15 foot high. It's a cardboard cutout of a milk carton.
Fuck yeah.
And there's
have
two little
me?
Kids' faces on it.
Have you seen
song.
Me? That's
yeah,
the
have
you seen 1-800.
Me song.
Dial
1-800.
Who's
the band? Have you seen me at the top? Dial 1-800. I am
yeah,
dead.
That's a
and
theme
they start
for the
walking
song
back
called Have You Seen
and
Me?
Forth across
I'm a big fan.
The stage,
big
right?
Fan.
They're just walking back and forth.
Wow.
And me and High are flying high, dude. And fucking, we kind of start grabbing each other's like jackets and shit like, dude. I think it's gonna get pretty burly here in a second. And fucking Guar comes out and starts shoving politicians that they don't like into
yes,
a meat grinder
into,
and
yes,
fucking
I
dude the music
shit.
Intense and
I fucking
we're just flying so fucking high and
love
I'm serious I can
so
spit
fun.
On Guar that close
yeah.
like blood
yeah,
and all
yeah.
the shit's hitting
yeah.
me and high and there's a gnarly pit going on like you were saying right
gnarly
but me and high are like holding it. Like,
yeah.
I got his jacket, he come over, like, that shit was out of hand, dude.
I
was so fun.
I saw Guar one time, like,
hold on, we got enough
time.
Guar. We're going back
okay, one
to
more,
Oli.
One more.
No, we're going to Oli. Oli.
Oli, as in
craziest,
a beer?
Craziest place you've ever been where you were, like, high as fuck on psychedelics. To where
well,
you
I don't
want
to talk about
whoa.
That.
Hey, can I talk about that?
Yeah. But
no, you don't talk about you.
I am a professional speaker, and I will be on the Richard Syrett show Thursday night. And what he wants to talk about is my recent trip to Canada in Ontario with my hottie girlfriend to Dreamers Rock and then some of the shipwrecks off the Bruce Peninsula, which is the long peninsula that sticks up into Lake Huron, and it's actually the deepest part of the lake.
Huron, that's Shinichi's son.
Lake Huron, not Huron. H-U-R-O-N. It's the second largest of the Great Lakes. Pretty fucking beautiful
so
up there.
So that's a big blue bird? A heron?
No, Lake Huron is the name of one of the Great Lakes, you guys.
Okay,
let's get you caught
just,
up with a little geography,
it,
shall we?
You know, a bird. You know?
Go, Sam.
Anyways, bird, there's man. A big white limestone mountain there on the shores of the north part of Lake Huron on an island called Manitoulin Island, which is actually a sacred native place. And up on the Dreamer's Rock is what it's called. It's on Indian reservation
dreamer.
Land. I had to go get a permit to go up
you're
there.
Nothing but a dreamer.
But it's super beautiful because it's all glacier carved and this white quartzite crystal is all polished smooth from the last glaciers which deposited in the basin where the Great Lakes are and left behind the lakes. A lot of people may not know that, but that's how the Great Lakes were formed
okay.
at the end of the last ice age. And so there's well, beautiful formations
according
all over if you know
say,
where to look.
You say so?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not what I say so, it's what geologists say so.
Okay.
Wait. About 10 minutes.
So on Thursday, I'm going to be on a Canadian talk radio show that will probably be listened to by a lot of people. And here I am talking to you two guys. But I'm rehearsing my lines. And so the other thing
there's
you want to know
of us
about...
Here, pal.
He went
shut
to the bathroom.
Up about right, that.
He's coming
you
back
son
now.
Son of a bitch. You don't know how to play when no one can see, do you? All right. Keep going.
Okay, now Jack there's four Wayne. Of us, if you count me, the talking guy. So there's a whole bunch of shipwrecks along the tip of this peninsula called the Bruce Peninsula in Canada, Ontario. And the reason why is because on one side of the peninsula is the Georgian Bay And on the other side is Lake Huron, the larger body of water. But it's actually the deepest spot of the Great Lake is right there in the Georgian Bay.
Right.
And so Manitoulin Island, which Dreamer's Rock is not far away. We took a ferry across to Bruce Peninsula, met a friend of mine.
I don't want to start. They call it Dreamer's Rock. Is there like a really nice place where you can go up and like sit down with your
Oh, yeah, for sure. We did. That's it was why an incredible view. Yeah, yeah. Well, they call it that because the young Native American children would have to go on a vision quest before they were considered an adult with the tribe when they're adolescent.
In their eyes, a vision quest would entitle
going alone from the village to this site and sitting up on the rock until an animal token would come to them in a vision, and that vision would then go back with the child until they got back to the Native American village, and the elders would interpret the dream and the vision from Dreamer's Rock, and that would be the Native American child's name in their adult life.
Yeah.
So it was a very significant place.
Sounds pretty kick-ass.
It was. Emily loved it. I showed her that for the first time, and that was my second time back. And I had to go to the tribal headquarters to get both a written, signed, stamped permit to climb up there, and they gave me a map of the region that showed like all the tribal lands. And Dreamer's Rock is in their ceremonial area of land that they just reserve for ceremony. And there was a great big circle there where they would do drum and sweat lodges. So we pulled up onto this little isthmus of land, so there was water on both sides. One side, a boat came up a little later with some Native American kids who were going to camp out there, and they came up by boat, as most adolescents would do for a vision quest.
Right.
But on the other side was just beautiful rocks into the deep, clear water lake where you see fish swimming and super deep blue, even though it was a narrow little inlet of very beautiful water. So I told Emily, look, I'm just gonna jump in naked. I mean, you can do what you want. But she came in, we went skinny dipping and we swam across and we were kicking it there and getting a little sun bathing in.
Yeah.
And we went back. Emily saw these fish that were kind of looking up at her and she's standing there naked, checking them out. It was a picture I'll never forget. Beautiful. Just you can't imagine a more beautiful scene than that. You really can't. It's a 10 in visual
beauty. Everything a guy likes.
I love
natural beauty to
I love that
to woman
so
beauty.
Far.
I love that. Excellent.
So far.
Adventure.
I like how we got that.
All right. Forte, we'll get to you next. Okay. So hold on. Last show we were talking about Antarctica.
Check.
And then I talked to some people and they're like, oh, you're one of those conspiracy theory pecking there, pecking yang 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 yang. And I'm like, dude, there's a reason they won't let you there. Right? Like, you can go look at the penguins, but you're not getting to the, what did you call it last show?
Illuminati Disneyland.
Yeah, the Illuminati Disneyland. I'm like, you're not getting in there.
The craft under the ice.
So, have you even tried to see if when you head down to South America, you're going to be able to get your way in there?
Yes,
hey,
I am.
I'm
writer. Into that.
No, any news? No one's heard this for a long time. We haven't done a show, and you were on the last one. So I'm like, any news on that?
Well, it's going to be heaven.
There are indeed. There's a lot of news on that.
Let's
so, we're going to have to get clearance through the State Department to go down there to go see the really odd artifacts and archaeological dig, which they call the Illuminati Disneyland.
Unfrozen UFOs.
Yeah, UFOs that are becoming unfrozen in the ice.
Pyramids like Egypt.
There's pyramids, there's megalithic ruins, there's even some organic entities that we might think of as alien, as well as ice age creatures like giant mastodons and mammoths in Antarctica, where they could never have lived naturally. So what it does is several things at once. So the antediluvian structures, the big megalithic cyclopean blocks as big as this garage stacked on top, how do you do that?
How much in pounds?
Many, many tons, in the hundreds of tons.
they rewrite history in such a way that if it's been trapped under the ice for the last 10,000 years or so, it absolutely proves that there was a high civilization on Earth at one time called antediluvian, meaning a high civilization that once lived here. This would be absolute proof. What it would also do, and with the pyramids,
like putting stuff in the freezer, it just preserves it.
Sure.
So once it's thawed, then you're like, I can check it out, and it's like it was, but pretty much right before it went down.
Well, there's a craft under the ice.
I believe in that.
That could also then make us closer to our ET connection.
I should have asked first.
ET? I don't know, man. Fuck that. I was thinking like something that could blast me to another planet. Gamble on some blue whore.
Anyways, that's Antarctica in a nutshell. Carry on with the next subject.
I got all kinds of stuff up my sleeve.
Right, let's hear a little ditty from our
Forest.
Friend Carrie from Mississippi. Let's hear
all
a
right,
ditty.
Cool.
See if I get my dog to join in.
Ow!
We got Trapper involved.
Trapper. Trapper boy.
Yeah, Trappy.
Hey, Trapper. Trapper.
Anyway, Forrest is backing down on the gear.
Trapper.
Carrie's gonna step up.
Boy, Trapper. Yeah, I'm gonna go grab it. That's it.
Do it.
That's it. He's playing it.
Okay, let's hear it.
So where's the other guitar at?
No, we
sold it on eBay.
Okay, great. I got it for free in Oakland. Okay, come on. OG hippie. I'm the 90s hippie.
All right. Sorry, man. Starting a new job tomorrow. Don't be late.
Coming my way in the North Carolina. Staring at the road. Pretty God, I see headlights. I made it up the coast in 17 hours. I'm picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers. I'm hoping for Riley. I can see my baby tonight. Well, rock me.
Show.
Oh,
that's great. Good job.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right, so Forrest, on the show, you're not willing to talk about Thailand at all?
Last time I talked to you on the phone before the last couple days.
I'm in Hawaii. You're in Thailand.
Tell us about
it. And I'm like, I'm in the middle of the jungle in fucking Hawaii. Yeah. And I built a house. And you're like, I'm in the middle of Thailand.
Best money
I've
ever lived in. Best money.
Come on. Give us some story.
So the best time I ever had in Bangkok, Thailand was when I was there and I was hanging out. And I had just broken up with my girlfriend and I was like, we're going to go. And like,
well, he's going to tell us a story.
You know, I went to Koh San Road where lots of backups are and beers are really cheap and we hung out.
What country was she from?
She was from Bangkok.
Oh, was your local girl?
She was from Laos. And so we were
there.
Like
they say when you're like,
she knows all the locals.
10 years old? What's the main city in Thailand?
Bangkok.
And it's Bangkok.
You'll remember it then.
Right in the dick.
So when the
that's what I call a fair play. So
anyways,
that means that,
okay,
you
so
know,
you
that was a
story.
Real response to that's a real acknowledgement by Stuart. Phone. So this is a great, you know, entertainment show. I love it, and I'm proud to be here with Santosh and Stuart.
to it.
Yeah, we get that part. Now let's hear some stories.
Right. So one time,
I'll give you a story.
About a loud chick.
I was, you know.
Go ahead.
Finish up. I was like, you know, hanging out at the university where I work and blah blah blah. Oh, I gotta use the toilet. Excuse me.
Well, I'll pick it up from there on a loud chick. First time I ever went to. Well, no, it's funny. It's not me either. It's not me. No, listen to this. You're going to like this. First time I ever got to Southeast Asia was in Saigon, Vietnam, January 1993. And I met this guy named Mark along with these two Australian guys that I came down from Japan with that I taught English with. And we were hanging out at this bar on the days in
fucking Australia, man.
No, listen. And this super hot Laotian woman would come around, and she was a prostitute, and she had really large breasts. And Asian women don't
good
really have no really good ones, like yeah, knockers. But she was only like 20 years old, right? But she was ready to go. Anyways, this guy Mark knew her story, and not only did she have a kid out of wedlock that was like in an orphanage.
Okay.
But she got picked up by the Vietnamese police in Saigon, taken to the jail, and gangbanged by like 30 guys. She didn't do anything wrong. She was just a hooker. So they all tagged her, and then she came around again, and Mark knew the story.
Wait, have you ever heard the word Dickie? Like, is that a really good adjective?
Dickie!
And the girl, she was very attractive, but I'm not into hookers. Anyway, she was hitting on Mark, and he would like, I heard your story. Shame! Shame! And wagging his finger at her, and she's like, oh, come on, Mark, what do you care? We fucky sucky, what do you care? Shame! And he was just fucking with her, because he didn't, you know, he really didn't want to, but... She was a woman who got caught up in the sex trade, had a kid out of wedlock. I wonder if she's even still alive today. And that's really sad, because I was already in my late 20s by then, and she would have been, she was younger than me, so I'm not even sure if she's still alive. Another weird thing I saw in Vietnam were half black, half Vietnamese kids. And one of them, who was crippled and just sort of like a gimp, he walked out to this beach where people have their huts right on the beach.
Through their black veins.
And he had a bad case of the shits, but he just was sitting there taking a dump when we walked by. And he, you could tell his father was African American, and we did the age dating. You must have seen that sometimes too.
Malacca!
You know, absolutely.
Maybe more in Vietnam.
Yeah, completely.
You've been to the Nam, right?
Oh, I have. I've been to Saigon. And
what do you think of Nam?
It was really cool, but you know, I've come from the second largest population.
Santa's actually used there during the war. What'd you think of Nam?
We call it the Nam, dude.
No, but
if you're a traveler, you call it Nam.
Well, it's not during a war.
San Jose, California is the biggest second population of Indian
Nation.
Yeah,
does
that make
as
sense?
A normal person that wanted to shake their hands and if anything, shoot at them is take a picture.
I'm talking about world stomping, going there as a backpacker.
When I was in Da Nang,
that's the way we talk, dude.
Right?
It's like calling Bangkok bangers.
When
that's
I was
what you
in
call
Da Nang,
it.
And we were
he's an amateur. He doesn't know. He's never been out of the country before. I've been to Mexico.
Oh, Barbados. Barbados.
Barbados.
He told me about Barbados. You told me about it.
Soup balls. Soup balls. Best surf spot on Barbados.
Finally, I remembered it.
All right.
Barbados.
When I was in Da Nang in Nam, and I was mainlining meth,
you
and I
were
had a
not.
Fucking shotgun on the side of this helicopter, and I was just shooting fucking women and kids, that's when I call it Nam. You're like this. I was in Nam.
The Nam.
Dude.
We call it the Nam.
Well, why don't you call it Vietnam?
Okay. Ah. Illiterate types, it's fine. Vietnam.
I'm going to narc on you
but
in
there
the
are
morning.
Nicknames
I'm going to tattletale on
places.
You in the morning. First thing in the morning.
You can tell if somebody's been abroad or not, whether they get it. But whatever. It's all good. Vietnam. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Vietnam.
So how long did you spend in Vietnam?
15 minutes for the departure to Japan.
15 minutes.
He never went to
Nam. So you never walked around Nam.
I did in the second largest Vietnamese.
Now he says it.
In the world.
What a dick. What a dick.
San Jose. Second largest population of Vietnamese people is San Jose. From 1970s up.
Yeah, there you go. It's changing quite a lot. It's getting become real Chinesey with a lot of money coming in.
And me and Santa, gone up scale. Just look at us next to each other like this. You guys are the blue-eyed, blonde-haired devil. Like,
the white devil.
Guess what we're here to do? Buy your land.
That one.
Fuck your chicks.
In Japan, they call us Gaijin. In Southeast Asia, it's white devil. You're from Satan Rosa.
Oh, I'll just say, that's how great in you.
You little white devil.
Oh my god, you're
not. Till they meet me and then they're like this, Brother Stu.
Till they meet you.
Yep, yeah, they're gonna get to know you. But when right. they just
I don't
see
like
you,
American
you
politics,
hair,
but I like you.
I like you, dude.
Sometimes.
Great.
Didn't you ever fake
you
that you're
pay your
Canadian?
Dues.
I did.
Just so you didn't have to get shit from some dude. I don't like America. Dude, I'm Canadian. Shut it.
Yeah, I
don't want to hear it.
I live in Victoria.
Canada.
Yeah.
Canada.
Yeah.
You put a little accent on it.
Canadian.
And you gotta use the word E-H. Oh, Canada.
Here for us.
Canada, eh? Canada, eh?
For us, I'll give you some beer.
Eh?
You're kind of thirsty.
Not above the equipment, buddy. Get that hell away from that.
4D's right. Drinking out of an empty glass here.
I'm talking about right. the
last
special whiskey.
Last question
for
Forrest and fucking Thailand.
Okay, check.
I had just got the roof on my house. I'm still living off the grid, even when I get the solar on there and everything, right? There's no power lines. I'm fucking living in the middle of nowhere. Forrest's like, dude, I am balled over here. I'm fucking pimp. And I'm like thinking... hypothetically, like, yeah, you're pimping, dude. Fucking A, you sound like you're doing really good. And you're like, no, dude, I'm a pimp. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Willis? And you're like, I'm pimping. I'm like,
pimping.
I think he's doing real or what the fuck?
No.
Yeah. Is it no?
No, it was a joke. It was a joke.
That was a joke.
I was trying to see if you.
That was
you
know, a joke.
We're awake.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a
joke. All right. So hold on. This one's gonna sting. Okay, but give me a hand. You know, always be bros. This one's gonna sting. Okay.
Toast or roast?
Yeah, like a titty twister, dude.
He's gonna give
okay.
you the roast. I'll all right. give you the toast.
So I'm in Hawaii. I get the call. Then my wife Roseanne's involved now. This, that, the other, and it's like this. Forrest is in the hospital. In Thailand. Like, he got fucked the fuck up. And Ethan's asking people if they can chip in on some money. And then Santosh told me, I fucking chipped in. I gave him money. I'm like this. Did you ever pay back Santosh? Did that loan?
It wasn't a loan.
I'm just kidding, dude. Yeah. I'm fucking with you when I call it a loan. I'm like, you know, you should, though. If someone helped me out when I was down and I'm back up running hard working for who? Who do you work for?
Obey Electric.
No, Tesla. You're fucking working for the man, dude. You're
Elon.
The sickest fucking company in the world right
it
now.
It is the sickest company.
You're like this. I'm embarrassed to say it, but it's not the gas station, dude. You're not the janitor at the fucking high school. You're fucking working for Tesla. I like this. Yeah, he can probably afford to give him back his money he gave you. What do you say to that?
I say I'm an OG. Bye.
Say it to the microphone.
You don't owe me anything, Forrest. Don't let him go yet.
I'm looking forward to the next...
What I want
to
know, because I never can find out, you know? I'm like this. You were in the hospital for real?
Yeah.
What happened?
A person from Northern Ireland hit me in the back of the head when I was drunk.
With a punch?
And
with a
sucker something,
punch.
Metal.
A
and
bar,
the
like
taxi drivers were watching him. And they called the police. The police came.
He hit you with a pipe. Bam.
No, he hit me with a tool that had two spots
like a
on it.
Socket wrench.
Yeah, do you want to see the spots?
No, but I'm saying like a socket wrench or something like the Christmas.
Yeah,
no,
it was
still
like
in jail
some
right
kind
now.
Of two thing, you know. And
still
yeah.
in jail.
He's that's all I gotta
like
say right now.
Murder.
So yeah.
I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. And trust me, no one the fuck you know listens to the Stew Show.
Except
so,
Shinichi.
You're
maybe.
In good arms.
Well,
good
I'm
arms.
With the good old boys, so I feel good.
Well, hell, boy.
Yeah. Well, hell.
No, one's gonna, no one that you fucking
back
care
then.
About is
well,
going to listen to my
was,
fucking podcast.
That was the toast.
Let's get down to business. So,
now let's,
yeah.
That was the roast. You need a toast. And the toast is, hey, man, you went and lived abroad for 15, 20 years. That ain't no easy task. You got yourself totally immersed in a foreign culture. Yeah, and that's pretty cool, man. You'll always have that with you. That's like your
because
power.
I read
that's,
your book and I
yeah,
hung out with you.
World.
And before I did that whole like
yeah.
world travel thing, I had read your book and I was like, wow,
that's
what I call
mean.
Intelligence.
And so now you have a very unique experience.
You
most
think
Americans
if, you think
never
if you're
do.
On the Stew Show that you're in a court of law. I'm like, dude, ready? Shit. For what drug haven't I fucking done? There ain't one. How much times? All of them more than once. I just had to check it out, see if I liked it or not. What else is there to say? I fuck black chicks.
Yes.
You want some more data on Stew? What else did I do? Me and Santosh tag team. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Santosh is like, do not throw me in this mix.
Oh, God, the show's almost over. Ended already. What a dick.
Remember
that
one
time? That was just me, but he's
a dick.
No,
that guy. You and Max Stone were in the jacuzzi. No, I'm just kidding.
Shut it.
I'm kidding,
hey,
dude.
Stuart,
what
I want
to.
I'm really
trying to make Max Stone laugh right now. Max, remember that one time
no,
you were in the jacuzzi?
That one time.
Max, no, you
don't.
Remember me?
I'm sure you were in San Francisco.
Got tricked
back
by
in
a
those
tranny.
Good old days when
oh,
it was
you got
everyone.
By the tranny. You got the old
and everybody.
Tranny
trick.
Oh, you
the old
did
switcheroo.
He
you
got
the old
switcheroo.
Well, there was a
you
really hot
bastard.
Chick in the mix too.
Yeah,
that's what threw
are.
Us off.
They all are. You poor bastard.
No, one was real, one wasn't. That's all you need.
But you got
to
a 50-50 shot.
Yeah,
you got
a 50-50
shot.
50-50 shot
of dick in hand, man.
Well,
and what was your choice?
Oh, your check, for sure. I'm 100% hetero.
That means
well,
dick
hell.
In hand.
We all know Brad doesn't go for the dudes.
Three things I've never done. Had sex with a
dude.
Shot drugs, intravenous, or paid for sex.
I've never done
ooh.
Anything.
That's
not
true.
Any of the three.
That's very, very
I've
true, based on
true.
My...
I don't know. I'm not
friendship.
Judging you. You guys live your life, but
hey, that
that's
is
my own code.
Santosh.
I tell that to new girlfriends, and they like really appreciate that.
Santosh, if you were single,
so is that yeah. like a Playboy point?
Forrest,
just saying.
If you were single, ready?
Right.
And maybe you're a little bit of a lull, like haven't got laid in a while, and like your friends like. I'm going to the bunny ranch, like, there's 100 chicks to pick out of, and I'm paying. So, technically, I've never paid for sex. Right? But, like,
you went to
I, knew my buddy, I knew my buddy was over in his wallet.
Yeah, well, that's his deal.
Yeah, that was
it's
all
you.
I was like, it's still free to me. But usually, I see you say, paying for sex is really awkward. And the one time I did it,
this
is
like sounding
like
a really OG.
Top 10 nugget fucking Playboy playmate I've ever been in my whole fucking life.
Ooh.
And I was like this. And
ooh.
You're paying for this.
That's
and he goes,
fancy.
Yeah. And I was
yeah,
like this.
Man.
For a playmate?
I am so not gay. Yeah, and nice. I haven't got laid loads. And I was like, dude, like I'm on this. And I was like 18, 19, 20, somewhere in there. Like 21, maybe. And I was like, fuck it, I'm down.
Huh?
You're buying?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll
buy. Anyways.
Gay.
What were they buying?
Anyway,
that's
the famous last
city.
Words. I'm not gay.
He's not.
I'm not black. I'm not gay. And, yeah, I'm not into banging drugs.
Well, I know one thing that you guys all are, and that is lesbian.
Yes. If your girlfriend wanted to bring another chick in the mix, yes, you'd be okay with it.
I am a lesbian to
my
sure.
Are you a lesbian or aren't you?
I'm a vaginatarian.
No, but I'm
what?
I'm a vaginatarian.
Vaginatarian.
I've been doing conversion.
On the south, proud.
Three-way and eight-time.
I don't show it to many people.
What a dick.
I don't show it to many people.
Never happened.
But if I pulled out my pant leg on the side, on my hip, I have tattooed.
Ooh.
I am a lesbian.
The first lesbian. The first
you're
lesbian.
A closet lesbian all this time. Yeah. You're totally cool with the threesome with tall chicks. All
right, so hold on.
Look at
us, Dar.
Gar!
Ready?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a guard.
Scary looking tattoo there. My
what
friend.
Does that say? Can't read it.
God, this says Dylan.
That's a scary looking tattoo.
That's the actor.
That's my friend.
They're very good.
Nice.
Acting.
That's your brother's right. Band?
So, no, my brother died. That's his
guys,
name. It says Dylan.
Last sorry, thing sure. And last thing only.
Jack.
Say goodbye to the crowd.
Bye, crowd. Have a good night.
Have a wonderful weekend, and thank you for being here.
It's Labor Day, y'all.
It is.
I know.
If you actually do labor,
fuck you, Santa Rosa.
The thing that's silly is the people that are super rich and never have to fucking work, have people clean their houses, they have nannies, they have all this fucking shit, they fucking just pay people to do every single fucking thing. They're still celebrating Labor Day today.
Saying they're gonna go to work tomorrow.
No, they're not.
Tomorrow's Tuesday. Back to work.
No. Rich people don't go to work, dude. Are you insane?
Hard day.
I'm going to drop my kids
rich
off at this fancy other school where
RV.
They're going to learn how to become super richer than your broke-ass kid because you can't
but
afford
this
kind of
this
a school, Santa.
This is an act. He knows dummies. That's what I know.
Of the Stu Show. We'll get back as soon as we can. And aloha and happy Labor Day, everybody. I hope you had a really good day.